Coming up on Roundabout, we have got 90 minutes to cover 60 cars, and the timer starts right now. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase, and by everyone's favorite online store, Amazon.com.
From the Roundabout Studios in Farmington Hills, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko from IMAX Web and RumbleStrip.net.
I'm the Motor City Greek, Manny Katakis from GMAuthority.com and WoodwardApparel.com.
Open Gangnam Style.
Transmitting from a sports villa at the Route 10 Comfort Precinct here in the Penta District area, I'm Bob Hall.
Korea, Anna now.
And this, you know, is a Roundabout, the Paris Motor Show edition, eh?
Good. Oh, did we want music?
Yes, that could be, that could work. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to fix that in post.
You can, it's the best part.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 144. It's our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and most of the news you chose to miss.
Bull roar, we are back.
Oh wait, you wouldn't have missed it this week because it's all about
Paris. The timer's running right now. We've got a show to get through. I am on the show floor here in Paris. It's the Charles de Gaulle Convention Center. It's on the Rue de l'Automobile. And we're glad you could join us Roundabout live right now. Got Eric Tritko, Rumble Strip, Manny Katakis joining us again. And, of course, Bob Hall via the Skype out in his Temple of Ineptitude in the California coast, California mountains.
Good to see you all.
Yes. He's seeing someone on the side. He's got a lazy eye. You see that? Anyway, we got 90 minutes. 60 cars revealed in Paris. The timer's running out. We've currently got 89 minutes remaining on the dial there, as you can see. Very nice analog clock you've made, Ben. Appreciate that. But we better get started. We have a lot to get through, guys. No sense loiter gagging. And the first one we've got...
It's you.
I know. Is the 2013 Honda CR-Z. Apparently, it's getting an upgrade. Very purple, the vehicle they're showing here in Paris. It still features a 1.5-liter engine, but horsepower has been upped. Gets a new computer. Has 121 ponies from the gasoline engine now, and also is sporting a lithium-ion battery pack, opposed to what I'm assuming would be nickel-metal hydride in the current version. Gets it another 20 horsepower. They're claiming 137 metric ponies, so probably about 140 total in U.S. numbers. So, a minor update to a pretty unspectacular car.
It's cute.
You haven't driven one, have you?
Nothing an S2000 motor won't fix.
Exactly. Bring on the K20.
Whatever,
Eric.
Yes.
To the front wheels.
The Nissan Terra Concept. A zero emissions off-road vehicle, which means Carlos Ghosn is going to be investing in more technology that won't be usable for another 20 years. This is a fuel cell.
Say what?
Yeah, all-wheel drive crossover. Sort of a bigger, sort of Juke-ish front, very Juke-ish front end on the vehicle. I believe John McElroy had a walk around on this car the other day. Mm-hmm. The design styling, it's good, but it's fuel cell, which means it's pointless because the technology is still 20 years away.
Exactly.
Manny, and the hydrogen next. Infrastructure.
Well, actually, the technology is here today. The fueling station.
Yeah, the infrastructure. Yeah, because we're going to spend what, $5 billion that we don't have to.
We're going to not spend any more time on it. How about that?
Manny. 2013 Maserati Gran Cabrio MC. Basically, it's the current, what's it called, the GT?
It's a looker.
It's a looker, but it's topless, too. And there's
even
nothing
better.
Like topless lookers.
Hey, I'm fans of the topless
beach. You can listen
beach.
To the 4.7-liter Ferrari V8.
And it's right next to the Jeep display. What does that tell you? It's like the Daimler-Chrysler days, right?
It's family. It's DNA.
It's family.
The Jeep is one day going to have an engine from Maranello.
Of course. And there will be a Kubang made in Detroit where people get stabbed. Bob.
Yes. Hi there.
Sanyong.
What about the Sanyong E14, if you use Roman numerals, or EXIV, or whatever the hell it's supposed to be?
It's that Chinese company, right?
They're Korean, damn it. They were owned by the Chinese. Sanyong, you know, they've kind of been through the ringer. They were once owned by Daewoo, and they survived. Okay, they actually have, I know some of the guys, they actually have some really good people at the company, and they're trying their damnedest to get things sorted out. What I like about this vehicle is, for hybrid, they're not kind of bullshitting around. They've got a 2-cylinder, 1-liter engine in it, and you don't need a big engine for a hybrid.
Is it a DeChavo?
Well, you know, it could very well be, but since it's Korean and I can't do a Korean accent, I'll have to pass on that one.
Opan Gangnam style.
It is. But no, they're talking about 50 miles in pure electric and then 4 hours to charge the pack. It's kind of state-of-the-art at a current level, doable. But at this point in time, you have to figure that there are even fewer SsangYong dealers in the States than there are Suzuki's, so don't hold your breath.
Well, two things. One, it doesn't look like it was 14 cars all put together for its styling, but why does it look like a Cheshire cat?
We will never know.
Meow.
Speaking of strangling babies, the noise Bob just made, 2013 Mini
Cat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Babies, cats, I have trouble with the animals.
That's okay. That's right.
Stephen J. Ewing wrote this one. Curious. It's a mini story. The Paceman. Apparently it's a concept, a two-door version of the Countryman, making an impractical vehicle even less practical. I'm not a big fan of minis, especially not the Countryman. And this I do like the color. I do, however, like that Zune brown. That's what they're calling
copper.
It.
Does it have a squirkle?
It can squirt songs to other.
It does look
countries.
A little more like a Mini than the Countryman does.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much.
So you can get your four motion or your all four all wheel drive, 1.6 liter turbo engine or a naturally aspirated 1.6. So there you go. Another
you open
Mini.
The door and it's just like a ball pit just falls out with, like, you know, orange and blues and yellows, just like when you were a kid in McDonald's.
Oh, that would be awesome. The play place?
Yes.
Yeah, I like the tubes that some kids would get stuck in.
Yes.
Anyway, Eric, Volkswagen, GTI, kleiner GTI. No.
No, I have McLaren P1. After Paceman, I have McLaren P1.
Oh, am I one? Well, do the next one then. I'm one.
Well, I was like,
down.
I was just making
Go!
Sure that I wasn't incorrect. So
chances are it's me that's wrong.
Since we were talking about McDonald's, this is the next Big Mac.
Ooh.
Hey, you like that one.
Yes. Very droll.
Yes. So McLaren P1, obviously a play on McLaren's F1 heritage of P1 being pole position. This is their next ultra supercar. The styling, some people like it, some people don't. I am a fan because it has a very Group C look to it, plus the fact that the headlights are the logo, are the McLaren logo, which I think is quite good. The styling is all based off of aero, and they're supposed to have over 600 pounds of downforce when all the aero is deployed, so they don't care about ultimate top speed.
Mm. It'll be on 600 pounds, doesn't it?
Or 600 kilos, maybe, is what it was.
It looks like.
600 kilos, sorry. Mm. 600 kilos of downforce at 125 miles, 200 kilometers an hour.
I heard the body was made of paper mache.
No, it's all carbon fiber. It's all carbon fiber.
No, that's not what I heard.
It looks like a Nike shoe, like if Nike made a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, the car has one problem visually, is there's so much plan view on it. From certain angles, it actually looks very narrow. And a car like this, you probably want to look really wide.
Hmm. Perhaps. It's knifing through the air, Bob, but we're knifing through our time. Manny, Porsche.
Porsche, Cayenne diesel, because who doesn't want a 627-pound-foot SUV, or of torque, rather?
That's a lot of torque.
That's insane.
That's a lot of torque.
You're approaching, you know, dually Ram, Chevy, Ford territory.
It's going to pull up some tree stumps in Europe when you're driving to the club.
Well, does
to
it actually
to the
come with a towing package? I don't even
yes,
know.
You can get
oh,
a
that's
towing
perfect.
Package.
5.7 seconds from 0 to 62.
All that torque is only 5.7 seconds.
Yeah, you would think it'd be a
slow.
It probably weighs like 7,000 pounds. Come on.
Bull roar.
Hindered by the transmission, but we know that's not true.
Yeah. I say malarkey, Bob. What is your take on this vehicle? Well, in a haiku, go.
Anything with torque like that, it's the torque of the town, I tell you.
That's our episode title, folks. Bob, you got the next vehicle on the list.
Yes, proof that Mercedes, of course, still hasn't learned a damn thing from their ownership of Smart. They have the Four Stars concept. Now, Four Stars because it has a glass roof and you can see the stars, and it also has a movie projector in. So, as usual, they're worrying more about the little stuff around it than making it a decent car. And if it drives well, I would be shocked. Okay? Mm. I would be absolutely shocked. But this is one of these things that Mercedes have only got to be keeping around for CO2 because it's a god-awful vehicle. Well, let me phrase it. I should be fair. I've got to be fair. This one may not be a god-awful vehicle. It may just be hideous.
John Lasseter called. He says that car is so ugly it wouldn't fit in Cars 3.
I can believe that. Mm. The Australian term we would use is it's uglier than a hat full of busted assholes. A technical term. A lot of technical terms in Australia.
You referring to rectal prolapse, Bob? I'm going to
pretty
cut
bloody
you
awful.
Off. Anyway, next car, we've got the Audi Crosslane Coupe concept, supposedly bursting with interesting technology. What that is, I'm not sure. Features a mix of aluminium and other carbon fiber bits to keep the weight down. Features a 1.5-liter three-cylinder engine with a smaller electric motor that acts as a starter and an alternator, plus another electric motor that adds to the Audi's giddy-up. So it must be a hybridized drivetrain. They're claiming a top speed of 113 miles an hour with an average 176 horsepower. Not a bad-looking concept, although not bad, I think.
The Q1?
Nice. Can we get a crossover that isn't that doesn't have the cross name designation in the name?
Can we get just refreshing? Not a crossover? Don't we have enough already? Can we just say no thank you to crossovers?
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
No, because you can't call
soccer
a car
moms
a wagon.
Are a growing market. Yeah, and you can't call it. Yeah. In America.
So there you go.
Call it a state.
Yes!
No, use the Australian term, station sedan. That's what they called wagons for decades there.
Well, I guess if they're the farms are called stations, so why not, right?
Yeah, that's right, you know.
Yeah. Eric, you've got the Volkswagen.
Yes, now we have a Volkswagen.
Kleiner Gate, hey, something about starting the key. Go.
So the Gen, what are we in now, 7 Volkswagen. Looks very much like the Gen 6 and the Gen 5 and the Gen 4.
Lighter weight, too.
Yes, 18% better fuel economy. Will still retain the 2-liter four-cylinder turbo engine, but a slight bump in horsepower up to 217, although nowhere near what is going to be offered in its kissing cousin, the A3, at Trihundo. Powered by horses. Yes. Hey, it's a Volkswagen. It's probably going to be the, you know, as far as build quality and materials, probably about best in class.
And it'll fall apart in 2 years.
Well, you know, lease, don't buy.
Yes. All right. Next car. Who's up?
Yeah, it's the BMW Concept Active Tour, which really raised a lot of eyebrows. Front-wheel drive BMW plug-in hybrid. Kind of has the profile of, I want to say, a Toyota Matrix, except, you know, with a BMW clip in the front. You get a 190 horsepower, 147 pound-foot lithium-ion engine combination, and that'll propel the car from 0 to 62 in under 8 seconds, which, considering the power output, is kind of slow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if anyone's ever driven a Volt, you know that 0 to 30 is pretty exhilarating, and everything after that is done. But
hey, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a three-cylinder, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And
there's another thing, not only front drive, but a three-cylinder BMW.
Well, their whole new engine family is modular. They got a new inline six. They can chop two cylinders off and make a four, chop another one off and make a three.
Welcome to the future, I guess.
This is another CO2 play, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
94 miles per gallon on the European cycle. That's 2.5 liters per 100 kilometers for all of our European listeners.
I don't think we have any.
What about America?
Oh, yeah, I guess he's more American than we are. Bob.
His name's American. American Reinhardt, right?
And European. What about the Connect, huh? Or as they call it, the Tourneo Connect in Europe.
He's a passenger version.
Yeah, this is an interesting. It's always been an interesting vehicle to me. When the chief financial officer of Ford drives one, there's something kind of neat there. Mm-hmm. The vehicle here looks all new, but in fact, from what I've been able to get together from the dimensions, it's actually the existing architecture with a new body put up on top of it.
Really? I thought I read it was on the new Focus, but maybe I was mistaken.
It's dimensionally it's awful close to the current one. We're talking fractions of millimeters. But the thing is that they've made the car much more family looking to the rest of the Ford line now, and arguably more passenger car like than their European passenger cars are. They should continue to do well. You know, it's got the benefit in the States. It's a unique vehicle, and it might not be the van everybody wants. But I'll tell you, on my side of the country, you see a hell of a lot of them being used for commercial purposes.
Great for families.
You see a few of them around here, too. I just hope it comes with more than a 4-speed automatic and 100 horsepower.
Yeah, it gets a 6, I think, auto.
Yeah.
Well, staying in the Ford camp, new 2013 Fiesta gets a facelift and EcoBoost power in the form of Ford's new 1-liter three-cylinder engine. Just talking about a three with that BMW concept. But this one's out in production right now. Gets it a tidy 99 horsepower. I know they're getting a little bit more out of that engine in other applications, 125, 123, I think is the number. They're using it in Mondeo as well. Focus, yeah. It's a great little engine. I drove it in a Focus here. They had a drive event. And
Before the tech blogger blew up the transmission?
Did a tech blogger?
Yes, a tech blogger who had never driven a manual transmission before was put behind. This is I heard from someone who was at the event. Never driven a manual transmission before, so someone at Ford decided it'd be a great opportunity for them to drive manual transmission. They proceeded. This was early in the day, and they then blew up the transmission in it, and it was the only one they had.
I hadn't heard that because there had two there when at the event I drove it at, and they both ran fine. But anyway, this is going in the Fiesta, so it's getting active city stop as well to help avoid crashes. I think this is a Continental developed system, but. Fiesta's a good little car, B-segment vehicle. Ford's doing some updates to keep it fresh. Looks a lot better than today's model, I must say.
The nose is a lot tidier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it's got this huge gaping thing, it's a better huge gaping thing.
Yeah. Speaking of huge and gaping, Eric.
Yes.
Porsche Panamera.
The Sport Gran Turismo.
Yes.
Also known as the Panamera wagon.
The nice-looking one.
There's two things that I really like about this vehicle. We'll go with number two first, and that's the front end and
how they've restyled
the headlights with some LED stuff. I think makes it look much more aggressive. It's very cool. And of course, by making this a wagon, whatever you want to call it, Gran Turismo, Allmendato, or whatever, they took care of the largest problem that the Porsche Panamera has, and that's its ass.
cheese hatch, wasn't it?
So this, it looks. Really, the back end of this looks quite good, actually. And while there are many a Porsche file who are cringing at the fact that there's a wagon...
Well, they should have been cringing
at the... It's not a wagon, it's a five-door hatchback.
Or whatever it is.
How do you tell the difference, Bob?
What was already
got a third row of seats.
Oh.
What was already a five-door hatchback, though?
It was a bulbous and unconfident five-door hatchback.
The other thing here is the Panamera sedan had that absurdly tall roofline because Wedeking had to fit in the rear seat, even though nobody that bought it is going to put a giant in the rear seat.
Yes.
This hides that beautifully, and that's why it works so well.
Yeah.
It is a nice
The profile
car.
Of the car is just – it's screwed up by that tall roof, and this hides it.
Here the extra length really gives this thing – gives a visual look of speed. Ben, if you can go back to the side view real quick. That one right there. There, the car looks much faster – with this profile than it does with the standard Panamera. And that color is quite good, that light blue color.
Speaking of much faster, you got to pick up the pace, guys. Manny, 2013
yes.
Miniature Cooper.
A miniature. This car is a little bastard. Mini John Cooper Works GP. You have 218 horsepower out of a 1.6-liter turbocharged inline four, cranking out also a healthy 192 pound-feet of torque or 207 pound-feet during brief moments of overboost.
When they'd like to have a little more fun.
Yeah, just a bit. And you have 0 to 62 in 6.3 seconds. 2,558 pounds. You know,
yes.
It looks awesome.
2,900 pounds.
Because what I want to do is...
2,500.
Okay, I was going to say.
What I want to do is spend $50,000 on a Mini.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Yes, that's a good point. The eccentric little man.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to do that if you could spend $60,000 on one?
What if you could spend $17,000 on a brand new car, Bob?
You can get a car that cheap these days?
Yes,
Opel
you can.
Adam.
And it's an Opel. Yes, that's right. Remember Opel?
So it's going to be Pontiac soon, right?
Well, no, it's going to be a Saturn.
It's a Saturn, yes.
Oldsmobile.
Yes, it's a Saturn. This is the Opel Adam, okay, which is the car that's going to save Opel. It's actually a neat little small car. The power goes from a Rorty 69 horsepower up to almost 100, 99. It's going to be start about 17 grand. This is actually in a very, very good segment to be in Europe because it's still showing some reasonable sales. They've done some quirky things on it. I like it. It's neat. It's got personality. But I don't know if it's going to help Opel a whole lot because Opel's problem is in Europe, it's not cool.
Well, it's Ford's the Black Friday edition, right?
Yeah, it could look that way.
It comes with 99 Luftballon power.
have you read
just the, about old and Nina's hiding in the hatch somewhere.
The color palette is like I'll Be Black, Papa Don't Peach, Purple Fiction, James Blonde, Saturday White Fever, and White My Fire. You know, it just goes on
That's
and on.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. All American cultural references, but brilliant.
It's kind of a neat idea, but I just wonder if it's, you know, too little too late for Opel.
Well, isn't the idea that they're going to take Opel and put it upscale and make Chevy the cheap brand?
Well, they have Cadillac in Europe now, too, which is... Opel,
anyway, we got the Renault Clio, or is it the Clio?
The client.
The client? Clio! Miss Clio, we're going to do a tarot card reading for you. Remember that till she got arrested? Local area celebrity. Never mind.
Was she reading Mel Farr's
Might have been. It was the superstar dealer.
That's right. Mel Farr, superstar. Okay, let's go.
Clio, it's a B-segment car that's closely related to the Nissan Versa. Let's move on. That's a one point.
No, you forgot to add, and will never be seen in North America.
Of course not. It's a 90 horsepower, 1.5 liter
well,
DCI.
Well, that's not true, Bob. There is that one little part to the north in the north northeast part of Canada that is still a French territory.
Saint-Pierre et Miquelon. Oui, certainement. Yeah, c'est vrai. Je suis un fou. Okay. Cool.
Next.
Let's go,
Eric.
Yes.
Rolls-Royce Art Deco.
My favorite period of the 20th century is the Art Deco period.
Absolutely.
I give you the Empire State Building. I give you
the Chrysler Building.
And
which is cooler than the Empire State.
I agree.
It's not at all. Size ain't everything.
Exterior, yes. Interior, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in the Empire State Building interior I probably like better. But anyways. So Rolls-Royce taking the spirit of, you know, the excess of the 30s while everyone else was, you know, in poverty feels very similar to now for some reason.
Indeed.
anyways, they're taking a bunch of the style and implementing it on their current lineup with some cues, both interior and exterior, with some color choices. And, I mean, this will be very limited edition across the limited edition vehicles.
you see the license plate on that? It says Dressage 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, yes.
So what does that mean?
Dressage 1? The convertible number is Dressage 1. The coupe is MIT 1, I think.
Hmm. Well, beautiful colors.
The Art Deco period was introduced at one of the Paris shows in 1925, yeah. Or technically launched. So,
coined or something.
Yeah, it's small detail stuff. It's not as Art Deco as I was hoping they were going to go with it, but I suppose if you're just doing...
There are some flourishes, and the colors are
original. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, there's little things they do to give it that, but I like it.
It's cool. Manny.
The artwork they did for the whole thing, though.
Toyota GT86 Hashiroku 2 is got a TRD package now. It hasn't been confirmed for the Scion yet, or the Subaru for that matter. You got your same boxer engine, but you've got a whole bunch of, you know, new body kits. You got a new air dam, new this.
So it goes faster then with all this extra.
It goes slower because you're adding weight and no horsepower.
It adds so much horsepower with the body kit, though.
And increasing drag.
Yes.
They forgot to bring in the sticker package, though, because everyone knows that stickers.
Because you have to put all of your sponsorship stickers that you're not getting sponsored by, right? Okay.
Bob, you're saying drag. That drag is beneficial for braking. Let's be honest, okay? It's fun.
All right. Yeah.
By the way, there is a local Detroit tuner down in Toledo, who is putting
semi-local Detroit in Toledo.
You can't trust anything from Ohio.
Well, you know,
it's a red.
But
state.
He's developed a turbo kit for these, which will actually put out boost the rear wheel power up to about 250 on it,
and
still be able to run on pump gas. So it gives it the power it really needs, but it's more that it boosts the torque up quite a bit, and that's the real issue with that.
Yeah, tuners wasted no time on that car. They took it in the shop.
That was the only thing is the torque is non-existent in that car, and it's really hard to drive.
Anyway.
Putting around.
Yeah. Moving on, Bob, Rixus.
Yes, this is the famous LFCC, and if you squint at it, it's basically going to look a lot like what the next IS looks like, which will be around, I believe, towards
next
the end
year?
Of next year.
Yeah.
It's got the Lexus cues with the hourglass grille. They've done some interesting stuff, like the LED lights are not covered. They're exposed. There's some neat stuff on this car. I think, you know, Lexus has got an interesting design direction, and the product is kind of getting slapped around. Good old Mr. Toyota made the comment that they blew it with Lexus first go around, and he wants to make sure they don't blow it again. So looks like they're on the right way.
I was a little disappointed in the rear. The up to about the B pillar, I like the styling from the B pillar back. I think it leaves a lot to be desired.
But
we'll have to see a production car for that, though. But I mean, for a concept, you know, some of the stuff is usually it's like they've turned the chroma up too high on a color TV.
That's the rear part. Anyway, sorry. I love the front part of it, but the back part is.
I like what they did with the body section. They got some really neat combination of large
contours and surfaces.
Yeah, it gives it a nice pot look.
Looks a bit like a Prius. Well, what do you think of the spindle grill, really quick? Lexus spindle grill.
Love it.
Personally, I don't like it, but it's got, you know, particularly because Nissan's doing something vaguely similar.
Well, it kind of reminded me of an Audi, the single frame. Obviously, it's tweaked, but...
Yeah. It's not what I would have done, but, you know, more power to them for realizing they needed to do something.
And something distinctive and different.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, moving along. Speaking of Audi, next up, the Audi S3. This car is going to be hot. 300 horsepower in a C-segment. Hatchback,
it's a GTI,
basically R32. A GTI, 300 horsepower. I'm sure quattro all-wheel drive. The 2-liter engine has been completely reworked to handle all that power. I'm sure it's forged everything. And, of course, you can get an S-tronic automatic transmission if you want. I'm sure a manual is available as well. It even weighs 11 pounds less than the previous version and gets better fuel economy. What's not to like? Let's hope this car comes to the United States.
Yeah, the $50,000 price tag.
I was going to say the $45,000 price tag on it.
Is that the car they're going to be building in the plant that's going to be over on this side of the ocean?
Perhaps. But I don't know if they've announced any.
I thought they were doing the Q5, Q7 in that one.
Okay. I was curious. Because, you know, it would make sense to do the cheaper car, which has a shallower margin. That's all.
No. Anyway, beautiful car. Hope we see it here. But you never know. Eric, another McLaren special.
So there were some patent sketches filed on what the actual production P1 will be, and it dives into more of what the active aero is going to be, including the rear, a lot of the rear spoiler, even more so than what they're doing with the MP412C. This really, even from this view, you get even more of how sculpted the car is, and I guess you're going to be doing some active aero even more up in the front as well as the rear. So
that wing is just crazy. This is bonkers.
Well, remember, McLaren started it in 1965, I believe, and they're just with the Can-Am car, and
yeah, the retractable wing.
Hmm?
It was retractable.
No, it would sit. The original Can-Am car had a wing that was fairly with a little bit of a down angle for that, and then under the brakes, it would turn vertical. To help to assist in the brake, it would basically act as a big airbag.
Hang on. That was Chaparral.
Or was it Chaparral?
Chaparral 2D or sorry 2C.
Why was I thinking that was McLaren?
Because they even had it was even in a Chevy.
You're right. It was Chaparral. You're right. It was Chaparral. Because then he came up with the he had the snowblower motor, two stroke motor for the suction
sucker car.
The sucker car,
yeah,
right?
That was the 2J, and the 2H was the aero car that Jim Hall himself did. The sucker car was actually developed by GM guys.
Not that Jim Hall.
Yeah, it was a different Jim Hall.
Yes. Anyway, Manny, 2013 Lamborghini Gallardo.
The new Gallardo, it got a refresh, and it kind of looks like more of a futuristic dustbuster than it has before. I don't know. In my eyes, I think they ruined the look.
It's different.
There's a lot of lines. It looks like it's like they're stretching it out, and there's thin lines, and there's thick lines, and
it's yellow.
It is.
Does she come in the car?
She can. I'm sure if you have the car, she'll be along.
Happy
shortly.
To go along with you. Yes, exactly. All right, Bob, another Volkswagen.
Yes, another Volkswagen. The actual 7th generation Golf. I refuse to call it a Mark 7. It's a Golf 7. Yeah?
7?
You ever call it that? Just to look at the car. I know Eric is no big fan of it, but I have to admit, I like what VW is doing in some respects styling-wise because they're doing some very, very nice professional, very tidy bits of design that are evolutionary, where you know the car is what it was, but it's not as they don't have the problem the Japanese have where they don't change the car enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they kept the good stuff, they got rid of the bad stuff, and most importantly, it's a lot lighter for a modern car. Normally now, it's not uncommon for a car to pick up 50 to 70 kilograms just to meet safety, and they've actually pared down by, I think, something around 30 or 40 kilograms, so that's pretty damn good. And again, it's a VW. It's a great car, well put together, and you'll love the first 2 years of ownership.
Until it starts falling apart.
It doesn't fall apart. Just things decide they want to go with you when you leave the car.
Divorce themselves.
They like you.
Whoa, I'm back on the streets here.
We see the timer, Ben?
Timer.
Stand by for timer.
Timer!
Okay, thank you.
We're doing okay. Next up, Chevrolet Trax.
Ben should be showing Rendezvous in the background.
How can I drive backwards, Ben? Am I that good?
Pretty good. You might want to look over your shoulder, Craig.
It's the Princess Tunnel.
Oh, no.
That was in bad taste, wasn't it?
Yes. Next up, Chevy Trax.
I feel like I'm in a Ronin.
We've got the Chevy Trax not coming to the United States.
Moose Trax?
This looks like a version of the Buick Encore, if I'm not mistaken.
A bit.
Like that fancy potato they showed at the Detroit Auto Show last year. Earlier this year, actually, gets a 1.4-liter inline-four gas engine, 140 horsepower, 149 torques.
Fun fact about the Trax, they had to rename it as Tracker for the Russian market because Trax, I guess, roughly translates to a sexual slur. So they couldn't market a car that was called the Trax in Russia. And I heard that from two Russians.
Well, that's a good authority.
Be popular.
It would be.
Depends on the act. Anyway, yeah, small crossover Chevrolet version of presumably the Buick Encore.
With that one armrest.
One armrest?
One armrest.
On the driver's seat that folds up. Yes. Oh, like the horrible Korean cars used to have.
Precisely like that.
Yeah. Well, in happier news, Eric.
Yes. A 5,000-pound race car.
Mm. Yeah.
Bentley Continental.
Boy, that's cheap.
Yeah. Bentley Continental GT3 race car. So it's unclear. This is a concept at this point, although word is they will go GT3 racing with it next year. The question is whether they're going to run the twin-turbo 4-liter V8 or the 6-liter W12 in it. That doesn't look quite right. You had it. There you go, Ben. They showed the car. It is completely stripped out interior, although it did have an Alcantara dash in it.
Yeah, so only one bull died in the making.
Yeah, exactly. It could be good. And I suppose if you are, you know, a landed gentry and want to go racing, this is your vehicle with which to do so. They did make a point that the number 7 on the car is the same number as the Bentley.
Winner.
Yeah, the Bentley Le Mans car that won in, what, 2000?
1929 also, as I recall.
Oh.
Mm. Fancy that.
It was 72,000 for another reason.
Yes. Many. Another Audi.
Yeah, speaking of expensive cars as well, an 88,500 euro Audi RS5 Cabrio.
Is that euro or like gyro, the Greek sandwich?
It's not a euro.
Okay.
It's euro, the currency.
I had to ask.
The things that Greeks don't have.
Greeks don't believe in euros.
Yes, we use drachmas. It's a second economy there. Mm. Don't tell anybody.
The black market.
That translates to $111,500, which is...
Is that with the VAT, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's just using a, like, you know, rough exchange rate. That's not going to be what it is.
Of course, in France, you have a 75% excise tax because you're too rich to own the car, so...
I see.
Not anymore.
Well, it is actually conferred for the U.S. in 2013, so it will be priced probably a little bit more affordably.
$80,000.
Yeah, $80,000, not $100,000.
Okay, so you can pick
ridiculous.
A couple up then, no big deal. Isn't this like 450 horsepower?
Yes, it's still got that the 4.2 liter, 0-60 and under 5, yada, yada, yada. We know the whole RS3 thing, 5 thing.
Yeah. I excuse me for pontificating on this, but this is like an M3 convertible. Why would you want to spend that kind of money on a performance car and then lose a percentage of its ability to deliver by cutting the roof off and adding weight?
It's
a poser mobile.
Exactly. You just nailed it. There's a certain demographic in the general vicinity of which you live.
Ben? You gotta level up. Is Ben still with us today? There we go. Double level up, one for Bob and one for Eric. Thank you. You'll earn one. Oh, back on the road again. All right. Bob, Suzuki.
Yes, the Suzuki. Suzuki, the C-Cross.
Way of life.
It is way of life, okay? And I'll tell you, it's not life in a new era. No, that was what they did for the old one. In any case, this is their take on a C-segment kind of crossover vehicle. And they made a big deal about they're going to do all these new models for Europe and no dealers in the United States. So don't expect to see this. But everything in this car, every single design characteristic on this, you have seen someplace else. They gave no specifics about the car from a technical standpoint, and it looked pretty much like it was a pushmobile with nothing really underneath it in terms of axles, except maybe a couple of beams and some spindles. There is a real car driving around in Europe they've been using for testing, but don't wait for it here. I'd like to see a bunch more Suzuki dealers and see them bring the Swift here, which is a cool little car.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the only guy on the earth who actually likes a Kizashi too, but there you go.
Next up. The Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG Electric Drive, guilt-free, zero-emission supercar fun for a mere $537,000. Achtung! Berlin to Warsaw in one tank. What is there to say? 740 combined horsepower? 737.
Wait a minute. Berlin to Warsaw in one tank? Didn't they use a lot more tanks in 39?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. The Panzerkampfwagen IV. Anyway, they had 0 to 62 miles an hour in 3.9 seconds. That's less than 4.
All I want to know, is that a vinyl wrap on the car?
It's a blue color. It sort of looks like it's a chrome sort of finish.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if that's a vinyl wrap, you know, because they have
it's
chrome.
Been covered they just peeled the lime green wrapping that was on the one that was at NIAS and just put the blue stuff on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there you go. Fast supercar, electrically driven. The answer to a question nobody cared to even think about. Next car, Eric. McLaren again. Why?
I don't know. There was in the rundown three times, so I figured since I talked about it once, I could talk about it three times.
Sure.
And really, there's nothing else to say that we haven't already covered with it.
Well, good. That gives us an easy out. What's your stance on this
car? Oh, I guess I'm sorry. The pictures that are shown in its race stance, which is 40 millimeters lower than what it will normally be seen at going down the road.
You have the air suspension lifts it for easy access, right?
And so you can go over
anything, any bump
the humps in the road. And, you know, traffic humps.
Piece of gravel. You drive over that too.
Small children, roadkill.
I don't know about children. If you hit one, it would just cause the car to explode, probably. All right.
Carbon fiber bits everywhere.
What is next? Bob, for whatever reason, you're next.
Yes. Jaguar F-Type. A new sports car. First so-called real sports car in 50 years from Jaguar. Neat piece of work. Three engines. You get a choice of two V6s, 3 liters, different outputs. Everything's supercharged. Then they have a 5-liter V8, of course, which, because, you know, I've never met a horsepower I didn't like.
Litra.
It's really interesting. Some people have been kind of two-faced, two minds on the front, because the face is a little bit odd by Jaguar standards. The rear actually has a very, very strong 1961 E-type flavor, which is kind of cool. A buddy of mine who's driven the car said it actually drives absolutely super, just a neat piece of work. So the F-Type coming out, we're supposed to be seeing it, I think, next year, I believe. Next model year. We might see it early in the calendar year.
Isn't it 8-speed? Is it automatic transmission only?
Yeah, at this stage, it's the 8-speed ZF, which, as I have heard, shifts faster than most human beings. So the only way you could bitch about it is if you were, you know, just you wanted a manual, not because it was better, just because it was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong from like that very high top front view that it looks a bit Ferrari-ish?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm not sure that was going to be something they intended, or if it just a lot of the parameters are the same on where you put the lights. You want to have this amount of planet view. You want to have that amount.
You have aero issues, cooling issues.
Yeah, exactly. So I think some of it could be coincidental. Personally, I can't see the Jag designers doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, they got enough of a heritage; they don't need to.
Right. No, it was very coincidental kind of thing. I'm like,
yeah, I really think so. I really think so, Eric. A neat piece of work from everything I've heard, people I've talked to, and a buddy of mine drove it, and he said it was one of the best things he's driven in 5 years.
Overall length is pretty short on that too, isn't it? I mean, it is.
It is a nice compact size. That's another appeal it has to me. It's not one of these sports cars. It's the size of a Coupe de Ville
aircraft carrier. Yeah.
Yeah. Good piece of work, actually.
Do you like the design? The front end, I find, looks very odd.
Yeah, it's got probably a few more slices and scarfs and snarfs and nibbles than I would like, but I think in general it's the proportion of the car is good. And if you get the proportion right, it's very hard to screw up the car. The body surfacing is nice because they kept it taut and tailored, didn't go over the top. It's just in the front gets a little bit, but it's relatively minor, you know. And the most important thing is the interior is quite nice, and the guy making the payments, that's where he is most of the time.
Yep. Generally.
Yeah, that's true.
So we had a duplicate of another Lamborghini, so I swapped something else out, Manny.
Oh, you surprised me.
Just put the Corvair in?
Yeah. I wish we'd put the Corvair in. Look at the Puplins.
Is this show going to the dogs?
This is the random auxiliary dog show, day three.
There's a golden and a Labrador.
Those dogs are 52 years old in human years.
Look at the puppies.
Give them a pet, Craig. Other way. You might want to use your other hand.
Were you walking like an Egyptian
there? That looks like Clayton trying to hold up a document.
You could not make a good weatherman.
That's an air pet. There, oh, good guy. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the other dog is drooling down his shirt.
I got to take care of here. See? Scratching him under the jowls there.
Not that this is more interesting than puppies, but we've got the Peugeot 208 Type R5 rally car. Looks fast. It is fast. And they plan on rating it, Peugeot plans on racing it in the Intercontinental Rally Challenge and the European Rally Championship and the National Championships.
That's a lot of championships.
That's a lot of racing.
Holy malarkey. Yeah.
That's
Peugeot, or I've heard people say Peugeot.
Peugeot.
I don't know.
Peugeot?
I don't know what the difference is. But what I do know is that it's time to take a commercial break and talk about our friends at Patriot Financial. No, it is not. We're actually talking about Amazon. And if you go to roundaboutshow.com, that is our website, look at the top of the page. There's a banner ad for Amazon. You click on that banner ad. It takes you to the Amazon storefront where you already do all of your online shopping because Amazon is such a gigantic seller of all kinds of things. Anything you want, you can get on Amazon. What we're asking you to do is go to roundaboutshow.com, click on that banner ad at the top of the page, and we want you to do your shopping as you normally would on Amazon because the deals, let's be honest, are so great. If you subscribe to Amazon Prime, for instance, you can get free shipping, two-day shipping on anything you buy. How do you beat that for $80 a year? The answer is you don't. So, to highlight some of the breadth and the depth of the products offered on Amazon, and to help encourage you to purchase more items from Amazon, we always like to highlight some of the things they have. And this week, our pick of the week, Eric, is from you.
Yes.
And it is a little handheld Sony Handycam of sorts. Now, is this an 8mm tape camera?
No.
High 8?
Negative.
No? Okay.
Negative.
All right.
This is the latest in the war of the small point of view cameras. Of course, contour cameras, GoPros are very popular. Drift HD and a few others. Well, Sony is finally diving in, and with this offering, this one is the Sony HDR AS15. This is the one. There's two versions. This is the top of the line model, which has a Wi-Fi connection, so that you can do all the controls and get a live picture view on your smartphone, whether it's an Android phone or a iPhone.
Picture view?
Picture view, yes. You can have a live view because there is no screen on there.
Oh, my goodness.
So this will do, yeah, and you can see the picture of how you can strap it onto your helmets, and it's got a case where you can take it underwater up to 120 feet.
Shucks almighty.
The really cool thing, if you're into the action stuff, is that it will do 720p at 120 frames per second.
Oh, high speed.
Which means you can do some really cool slow-mo stuff. So there's been some videos that have been done by Sony that show snowboarding, that show skateboarding, surfing, and they really show what you can do.
Wow.
So by using that 720 at 120 frames.
Yep.
So I am going to be ordering one of these next week because my contour camera has been not recording when I've been asking it to, and I've missed several important action things when I've been on auto drive. So
you had a camera on your Ford Contour?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
It was an SVT even.
Mmm!
So it blew up at 6,000 RPM rather than 5.
Ah, that's good.
Anyway, we thank Amazon for their support of Roundabout Show. We encourage you to go to roundaboutshow.com. Click on the banner ad at the top of the page up there. Get your ticket. Not savings, but you're not going to spend anymore. Same great prices. You're just going to help us out, your favorite automotive-themed podcast. Do it for us, please. So that covers the advertisement. Back to the meat and potatoes of tonight's show. I think we got to talk about some cars. Next up is an Audi 2013 A3 Sportback, the e-gas project. It's supposedly a carbon-neutral vehicle. What else is there to say?
You have some off-gassing problems?
Exactly, yes. I haven't had an opportunity to look at this. It's like LED headlamps and a bi-fuel powertrain. That's part of Audi's e-gas project, electronic gas.
It's an e-gasm.
You can run it on regular gas or compressed gas.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's a relief. I thought you ran on an earwax or gasoline.
Earwax.
It is dual-fueled.
Yeah, so it's a classic liftback styling from Audi. Very nice, very sharp-looking vehicle. So, there you go. Who's next? Eric?
Yes.
Another Peugeot.
Yes, so this is the performance version of the ubiquitous RCZ that Peugeot sells in France and other parts of Europe. Pumped up version. It's a higher horsepower, a little extra styling. Of course, the ubiquitous flat matte paint that all show cars must have these days.
But it has a much better nose with the facelift. The previous car was just hideous in the front.
Yeah. The other thing they did, there's another Peugeot show car called the Onyx, which is the same paint color, and then the front fenders had polished copper on the front fenders, which is just stunning.
Yeah.
It was amazing looking. Well, here what they've done is they've put it on the pillar. Yes, thank you, Ben. This car is just maybe the best looking prototype car I've seen in ever the in a long time.
It's another hot Peugeot that the design department came out with and is just great, and they're never going to build.
But here on the RCZ, they took that copper and did it on the A pillar that sweeps back to the C pillar, and it's really
does it tarnish and turn green?
Yes, actually, and that is intentional because they want to show how a car that the car changes over time.
That's brilliant.
It's part of the design aesthetic.
Brilliant.
You leave that parked outside Detroit for 20 minutes.
Stolen.
The copper is gone.
The copper's
gone.
All right, Manny.
Mark 7 GTI.
Again? Didn't we already do this one?
Yeah.
I think we did. Well, we better redo it.
We might as well. Performance. Well, according to Auto Bild, a German car magazine, there might be a performance package coming, and that'll bump up the horsepower output to 227 horsepower. 0-60 in 6.5 seconds. Not bad for a little pocket rocket that is the Golf GTI. What do you think about the lines there on the sides that just kind of swoop backwards?
The horizontal ramps? Line on the
yes.
door?
No, in the front fascia.
Oh, it's different. I don't mind that, actually.
It separates the Mark 6 from the Mark 7.
Well, there you go.
That's it.
Let's ask the designer, though.
Well, there's more to it than that. The grill proportion is different relative to the headlights and such. They are different if you see the differences, as it were. Unfortunately, the specific pictures you don't have because when Ben hung up on me, he didn't bring my pictures back on my Skype. So I'm having to guess what you guys are looking at because the tape delay, I think it's about 15 minutes right now.
Pretty good. Well,
thanks,
in that case,
Ben. I'll be fine.
I'm fine. Well, Bob, you got a Nissan.
Look, let me. I don't need an intro in this. At every auto show, there are a lot of cars we want to see. You know, stuff you drool over. You say, "I wish I could get that." And then there are the cars we are actually going to get. Okay, and the Nissan Juke Nismo, sadly, is probably one of those. Okay, I know the Juke has the people that like it. I know that they're 6 or 8, maybe even 12 now. But this is what a Nismo take. Now, this is really sad to me because when I think Nismo, I think GTR. And the only thing this seems to have in common with GTR is a badge and four tires. I guess there's somebody – do you guys know anyone who would like this?
It's a stretch, but maybe. Maybe for a day.
Okay, because if you do, please don't introduce that person to me. Okay. I don't want to know somebody like this thing is just, I mean, it is god awful. Sorry. The Juke is real hard to take anyway, and this makes the bad worse, so there you go.
It's not delicious.
A car like that would probably look good in front of a lot of neon lights like Vegas or something, or Tokyo.
I think it'd look good after it's been through a crusher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew
beat
you
the
that.
Crusher! Yes. Next up, we have another Mercedes-Benz. The B-Class electric drive concept merges entry-level luxury with plug-in technology. So this is a Chevrolet Volt, it sounds like. We were just talking about that.
A bit.
Yeah, 100-kilowatt electric motor.
Sounds like that BMW.
It's a hatchback, 93-mile-an-hour top speed. It looks like a little bulldog of a car. It's got 229 torques under the hood, and Mercedes-Benz isn't disclosing if it has the lithium-ion battery's capacity. So there you go. It is capable to be charged through any 230-volt outlet. Using a quick-charge 400-volt outlet, it can rack up enough range to cover 31 miles in less than an hour. Not a bad rate of speed, although I don't know where you find a bucket load of 400 volts. Not just everywhere. What do you guys think of this car? It's blue. I like that.
They're using the same plastic wrap, aren't they?
Yes.
Saran brand.
That's cool.
It's another EV. So
the color's cool, anyway.
Yep.
That's about it. All right, Eric, I put you down for the Peugeot.
Yes.
Onyx.
So this is a riff on Peugeot's MP3 scooter, which is a three-wheeled scooter, which is a pretty unique front suspension where the two front tires are very close together and they lean at angles when you make the turn, and then it has one rear wheel. Well, this is an electric version of that, and then it has going with the Onyx concept thing that Peugeot has running through them, where it is the matte gray or matte—it's not black. It's more of a gray or gunmetal colored with the copper. So it's an all-electric three-wheel scooter that is good for 310 miles.
Little scooter is
117.6 miles per gallon.
It's got that copper onto it there, you know.
Well, you know, if your alternator is having problems, you just strip off the sides and rewind it and put it in. So.
Manny, the Venturi America.
The Ace Venturi America.
Yes.
Not coming
I thought
in
that
in
was the
US.
Pontiac Ventura America.
It's not coming to the U.S., but if you've ever wanted an electric dune buggy, this would be it. If you lived in Europe.
Cookie speed.
Speed buggy?
Speed buggy. 300 horsepower, 295 pound-feet of torque, and it's a 3,100-pound car slash dune buggy car. It's got the same profile of a dune buggy, except less rails, more paneling, and the same amount of no doors.
It's very orange.
And fewer sails.
Tangerine.
As in none?
And it doesn't talk as
close
much.
To it.
Bob, you've got the star of the show, arguably.
I think so. I mean, I think for all of its copper and matte quirkiness, the big daddy Onyx is pretty impressive piece of work. The thing weighs under 2,500 pounds, and they've got here's dead giveaway, by the way, that this vehicle will never make it into production. It's a Peugeot, and it's got a 3.7-liter V8. Okay? They don't have a V8, and it's a mere 600 horsepower, okay, augmented with a 80-horsepower electric drive system. Well, it's real easy to take a shot at Peugeot for these cars. They're never going to build in the real dopey. It's what I like about Peugeot right now, and Citroën to a degree, they are building 1950s-style American dream cars, and nobody else is doing that. You know, where it's just shit. Let's just take off any restriction. Let's build what we think of. And some of the U.S. stuff was dopey, but it was also neat to see stuff like that actually in three dimensions.
The Ford Nucleon.
It's like the Statue of Liberty laid on its side, okay, and polished, kind of sort of.
Carbon fiber wheels.
Fibre.
It's a
but hang on. There is a precedent for that. Citroën did a boron fiber wheel for the SM as an option in 1972 and 73.
Boron? Like
borax? Boron fiber.
Borax?
Just lighter than carbon fiber. And even more expensive.
I was going to say, so what is it? Did that sell at a $30,000 loss per unit in 1969 then?
No, $30,000 per wheel.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And you notice
losing $11,000 in every SM they built.
Well, beautiful. What was on the interior of the Onyx?
Craig, tell us. You're sitting in it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's woven Maine Coon scrapings.
Is that what it is?
Oh. Yeah, this is nice.
Is it soft, Craig? Is it soft?
It's kind of oily. Is
that kind of
musty?
Did you leave a spot where you sat?
Glands.
Where would they, Bob? Where would they get this theoretical 3.7 V8 from? Nissan,
GM deal.
No, because they're not part of the organization. GM is. It's more likely it's something they built as a race engine. Remember, they got a big race program.
Right,
okay. Used to.
And they're doing their own race, so it's probably a race engine block they worked with, and bits and pieces. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
What was?
While they've got it, it's not for mass production.
Was the 908 race car V6 diesel?
Yeah, but before that they did a V8. I can't remember which one it was. It was the one that had the dead flat
right
body. That was a petrol V8.
901? Was that the 901?
No, 901 was a Porsche, you fool.
Well, yeah, but Peugeot had a 901 as well or something like that.
Bob's dander is up.
I'll be absolutely honest. I don't remember the numbers for the race cars. Okay.
All right. Well, moving on. Production from race to production. We're burning daylight, guys. The Ford Mondeo. Where have we seen this car before?
I give up.
It's a Fusion, the 2013 Fusion. Who would have thunk? Of course, the Europeans get all the fun stuff, including diesels and the 1-liter EcoBoost engine we were talking about earlier. It's also a wagon body style.
I was going to say the wagon.
We're not getting.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I was watching European videos last night of the Paris show and one of the English channels, Evo TV. They were saying something that the wagon won't be available till 14. But even like the regular one over there is not going to be able to available till like well into late next year, and I find that hard to believe that
the new Mondeo.
Yeah, I think they had his dates wrong, but it was like we're getting this thing's on sale.
It was pre-roll for a year ago.
No, it was actually from this year's show. Yeah,
Eric.
Yeah. Yes,
Eric, that's not that unheard of because they might be showing the car now because the twin will be on sale in the States sooner.
Mm. Okay,
for
okay.
once.
For once, we're getting something better
this is
sooner.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that and the Europeans work so slowly. They don't have that American work ethic.
they can also rationalize in a way is that they saw theirs officially first as far as they were concerned. Okay. Oh, it came out before the American one did. They copied us.
Yeah. Eric, Porsche, yes. 911 Carrera 4.
Yes, the Porsche, the 911 that I would like to have as my daily driver since the turbo isn't available yet. Basically, it's the current new 991, 20 millimeters wider in the rear and with all-wheel drive. Excuse me, 22 millimeters wider in the rear. It'll weigh an additional, it's 143 pounds lighter than the previous Carrera 4, which that's pretty substantial. All-wheel drive 911, yeah.
What's it say, rear engine, all-wheel?
100, starting, where does it start at? $91,000.
Manny, you're going to get us some pizza from Sbarro.
This car is nuts.
This is a, oh yes, I know this.
The Sbarro Sbarro 8 concept.
Franco's stuff is always nuts.
This is
Francisco
Franco? A student project.
Franco Sbarro.
If John Milner were to have a car in 2012 or 13, this is what it would look like.
From the Monte, I'm going to butcher this, Billard School of Design. Known simply as the 8, it is a Maserati-sourced V8 engine, reportedly designed and built in just 8 weeks, and that's very
impressive.
What does
it look like?
I didn't know you could cure carbon fiber that quickly.
Yeah. It looks like...
it's a 30. It's a 32-3 window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 32-3 window, you know, that had sex with a stealth fighter.
It's a 2032.
It's ahead of its time today.
I would drive the hell out of this car.
It's the first car to break the time barrier since the 1957 Plymouth.
Does that mean it only does 88 miles an hour?
No, it could be.
Ben, I just teed you up.
Yeah, good luck.
Not going to happen.
Real quick, Craig. Yeah. Did we skip three vehicles on purpose?
Did we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which ones did we skip? I guess we did.
Ferrari's Enzo successor laid bare.
I'm scrolling back and forth here, trying to read ahead, but yeah, we've got to go.
Well, you'll do the Hyundai, and then...
I did, yeah, Eric.
Oh, there's a Kia, too.
Let's just go Ferrari Enzo, Eric. I jumped ahead.
Well, it won't be the... Well, and they haven't typically called the successors afterwards, so this will be the successor to the Enzo, which is the F-150, Ferrari F-150, yes?
Oh, I don't know. Yes.
Is what it's called internally.
That's where you can't see the bed on it, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's at the front. You see that, Bob?
This is, they built a complete carbon fiber cockpit for the next Ferrari supercar. The seats are molded in, or at least the back part of the seats is molded into the chassis, so the seats will not adjust. The pedal and the steering wheel will adjust. It's several different types of carbon fiber that are used. Some of it's bidirectional, some of it's monodirectional. And the bottom part of the tub has been reinforced with quite a bit of Kevlar because the bottom is yellow, not black.
Well, now you know. Manny, Kia.
Kia, Karens? Or is it Karens?
Karens.
Karens.
It's Karens.
Carpenter?
It's basically a rehash on the Rondo hatchback that's available over in Europe. A new take on it, if you will. It's somewhere in between an MPV and a compact hatchback.
Very nice.
I guess if you like those things and you live in Europe, go for it.
It's the perfect vehicle for crowded Europe. Bob, another Mercedes-Benz.
It's a fine Mercedes-Benz, a wonderful German car. This is a CLS shooting brakes, a station wagon, yeah, of the bent in the middle because we took it out of the oven too quick, CLS. I think it actually looks a hell of a lot better than the CLS four-door coupe does, which, of course, means it's not coming to the United States.
Yes.
They're only going to let the Europeans have it. Yep. There's going to be, of course, an AMG-badged version that will be a CLS 63. And in between, of course, they're going to have the 2.1-liter 4 that all Europeans will go gaga over, and some will be able to afford, and then V6s, and, of course, the V8. But there you go. This is the wonderful Mercedes. It's too good for the United States.
Bob, what is the origin of shooting brake?
Shooting brake was a term that the landed gentry in England came up with for an impractical little station wagon that was a thing you took out when you went out shooting birds or ducks or some sort of animal that had every right to live and no way to defend itself. they used the word brake because brake is what the French called station wagons. And it, of course, they stole our world because the English are a bunch of thieves, you know. No, that's it was a tossy term used for a impractical station wagon used for carrying your guns because you couldn't be bothered with putting them in the trunk of your own car.
Well, fancy.
Yes, it was, very much so. We enjoyed them tremendously, you know.
Whoa, hello there.
Oh, that's
coming to you from
ex-wife.
The annual Ulaanbaatar International Motor Show in Mongolia. Anyway, next up is the Hyundai Gangnam Style iX35. This is supposedly the world's first serial production hydrogen fuel cell car, and Hyundai promises to have them on the road for private and public lease by the end of 2012.
Huh? What's the range? What's the range?
Chances are you don't live near enough a fueling station, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, because I was going to say you drive it once and leave it where it ran out of fuel, yes. Right?
No, they say a range of up to 365 miles. But where the hell do you get fuel? You don't. So, good thing it's a lease. Yeah. 0 to 62 of 12.5 seconds.
Oh, that's hot.
It's hydrogen. It's hydrogen fuel, right?
Yes.
You take it to one of those party stores, they blow up the balloons.
Yes.
Fill her up.
Makes that natural gas Honda you had the last time look swift.
Oh, gosh. Certainly.
Are they still leasing those out in California, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still get them. Yeah.
Wow.
But something you cannot get, take a seat, Bob.
Oh, God. They say out my own. SEAT, of course, is VW's little plant on the Iberian Peninsula, a company they bought that was owned by Fiat that Fiat couldn't do anything with, so they decided to sell it. They ran Porsche engine cars for a while, not joking, they really were, and VW bought them and has put VW guts underneath, and actually they're quite fun. They tend to have really neat taut chassis, maybe a little on the firm side, very, very evocative styling, and the parts don't start coming off for about 1.5 years.
Yeah.
But no, it's a Euro VW. They're priced position wise. If you look at the VW price hierarchy, you got Audi at the top, then Volkswagen, then Seat, and then Škoda at the bottom.
What about Bentley?
I was only counting the ones that share the 4-cylinder engines.
Oh.
Although there could be a Bentley 4 with a turbo.
Well, wouldn't the W16 be just four of those piled on top of each other?
No, I thought that was two V8s intertwined.
Which is 2 4-cylinders, I heard.
That would be 4 4-cylinders.
Shut up! Anyway, Fiat is showing the Panda 4x4. Compact little dinky crossover for the A segment in Europe. That's the tiniest of the tiny. Right there.
The Pandas are very popular in Europe, aren't they?
It is very popular. 0.9, oh, I love this. The 0.9-liter twin-air turbo engine, 80 horsepower from a sub-1-liter...
Every
power plant.
Every test of that engine that I have seen or read from European publications says it gets less fuel economy than the larger engines.
Mm, really?
That it's strictly there for CO2.
Hmm. Well, isn't CO2 fuel economy?
Not always.
No, to a degree, but there's a point at which there can be a gap, which has a lot to do with things like gearing and vehicle weight.
Hmm. Optional, you get a 1.3-liter diesel. So you're ready to go climb mountains in your Fiat Panda.
Perfect.
What is next, Eric? The Dacia.
Hey, big news. It's the new Dacia Sandero. Sorry, I've been waiting to do that for...
Is this another repeat?
No, it's a Top Gear joke. Bob got it, and he thought it was lame because it was about 4 years too late. Yes.
Well, that's Jay Mays.
We're bringing it back. We're bringing
it back.
Jay Mays.
Not Jay Mays.
It's Billy Mays.
No. Yes, it is.
James May.
James May.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
So they have a whole new car, and it has garbage wheels on it.
It looks like it has
13-inch toy wheels with steel wheels on it.
That's where you're wrong, Eric.
Hubcaps.
That's where you're wrong. They've integrated the steel, stamped steel wheels are an integral part of this vehicle's chassis design. They're more flexible than the alloys, designed to give you the smoothest ride possible.
But do you know what the biggest selling point of this whole car is?
Smooth ride, clearly.
No, it's sticker price.
Mm-mm.
It's just 7,900 euros.
I have to put a hand up here. When I was at Proton, we actually bought a couple of Dacias and tore them apart. It is fascinating, to be absolutely honest. They have made a car that is low priced, and based on what they're doing, they're still making good money on it. So we may, you know, we may laugh at some of the stuff, but it's real interesting. The one thing they found when they started selling them in Western Europe was that the buyers were all people who were used car buyers. There wasn't a single new car buyer amongst them. So they've tapped a market that doesn't hurt themselves. It's pretty clever in that regard.
Well, how do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, this is how Renault Nissan is still continuing not to lose a crap ton of money, is because of the Dacia line.
The Romanian subsidiary.
Yep.
What do we have next, Manny? Mitsubishi Manny.
What do you call an Outlander Sport in France?
Too expensive, eh?
You're not going to sell.
What we said here in Paris.
It's not a Royale with cheese. It's the ASX. For all you
ASX.
115 horsepower, 1.6-liter gasoline engine, 5-speed manual transmission, which I guess is cool in the two-wheel drive configuration. 3 engine mills on deck. You also have a 1.8-liter diesel, 147 horsepower, 221 pound-feet of torque, and a 6-speed manual.
I like the 5-speed because then it's symmetrical when you have the reverse gear.
And if you care about what comes out the tailpipe, they have a low-emissions 1.8-liter diesel with 114 horsepower.
That's like an Audi grill upside down.
Oh, it's so much Audi.
And is Mitsubishi still in business?
It's just, it looks like a fat Evo.
It's a fat Evo.
The fat Mitsubishi Evo.
Well, not much to say about that, but moving on, we Bob, you covered... 25 minutes remaining on the clock. We better step up again.
Look, before we get over there, let me just say, check this out, okay? Please, check this out.
Check with a Z, of course.
That's right.
You covered Volkswagen's somewhat obscure brand. Now you're moving to their other one.
This is Western Europe's version, okay?
Of a Toyota Camry.
Of a Jetta, basically, sold by Škoda. So it's the value position Jetta. A Škoda Rapid. Center body is basically Jetta, and they have new nose and tail, some revisions to the interior. The Jetta's a funny car because it hasn't sold hugely, but where these four-door sedans that we like in the States and they like in Asia sell really well in Europe is in Southern Europe. Italians tend to like them, Spaniards like them, the Portuguese like them.
Don't the Russians like them as well?
I'm sorry?
Russians, aren't they big on the four-door sedan?
Yeah, they are too. And of course, Škoda has some cred there. But the other thing that's confusing is there's a Škoda Rapid built in Italy by Škoda that is based on the VW Polo. Same name, okay, and it's just a size smaller. So
like a Hyundai Genesis.
Mm. Same sort of thing, yes. Just like that, only different. But Škoda, it's real funny. People joke about Škoda. There's a thing they call a Q score, which is a branding score. And in Europe, Škoda's position is slightly below Volvo. So the old stories about, you know, why do Škodas have heated rear windows to keep your hands warm when you push them, or how do you double the value of a Škoda by filling the petrol tank? They don't apply anymore. They're actually reasonably good cars. They're like V-dubs, and the parts don't start to fall off for about 2.5 years because they're all built in the Czech Republic.
That's where the land of the Tatras.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So check it out, everybody.
Bob's favorite car of all time.
I'm getting excitement.
Probably not.
Excitement.
You're getting excitement. Not a retardament, right?
No, definitely not.
Okay. Next up, another Audi. Imagine that. The SQ5, the brand's first S model with a diesel engine. Version of their compact crossover gets a 309 horsepower engine churning out 479 foot-pounds of torque. Routed to the wheels through an 8-speed automatic transmission. No doubt that's ZF model. What else? 0 to 62 miles per hour. 5.1 seconds. Engineers have dropped the chassis 1.2 inches, thrown on a set of 20-inch wheels, and it gets a bunch of other crap as well. Starting price, €58,500, but you can get up to $92,000, which is like the auto show special model, if I remember. They're doing it, get some special treatment crap. You can spend a boatload more money
Audi
on it.
So Audi has adopted the Porsche.
Or the Neiman Marcus sort of limited edition.
I was going to say the Porsche option model. Never mind.
Well, they're only making like 35.
They've actually had it for a while in Europe.
Yeah.
Where anything you want, you know, any color, anything, yeah, we'll, you pay for it, we'll do it.
Yeah.
It's done by the guys at Quattro in Necrosulm, the old NSU plant.
The aluminum plant, Necrosulm.
I just saw the Porsche put out a video last week or 2 weeks ago about their bespoke stuff on the place you go to in Germany where you literally go in and. What do you want on your Porsche? And it's also how you all special order everything, interior colors, exterior colors. It's really cool. They actually have one in Irvine, the same kind of thing.
Fancy.
The Hyundai i30 three-door, what it would be known in the U.S. as a three-door Elantra GT. So rather than five-door, this is a three-door. The Elantra was is a very good car. The Elantra GT, I drove that a few months ago. Very good. I liked it. It was certainly the hatchback style is much more functional than the Elantra sedan. It's a big, good car, but we won't get the three-door here in America, so it doesn't matter.
But will it blend? No?
No.
No, apparently that's a soft spot. Manny, have we got here?
You have what seems to be an alphabet soup spilling all over the table. The PPNMCNOAO. I'm not joking. That is the name of this car.
Was it a Chinese company that made it?
Pole Performance Nevers Magny Cours is what the PPNMC stands for. And it's a French little race car, apparently, known as the NOAO or NOW. Supposedly pronounced know-how. What? I'm making those. It's
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
It's pronounced know-how.
What is
know-how? No way. Is that ever going to see production?
Yeah. No. 227 horsepower, 295 pound foot electric, 1,000 cc electric motor.
1,000 cc
electric motor.
Wait, it's a reciprocating
twin electric motors. I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. Both twin electric motors capable of pushing out 227 horsepower, 295 feet of torque, and there's also a 1,000cc three-cylinder range extender. Got it. And Whoa. It's 2,182 pounds.
It's not a new reciprocating electric motor, then?
No. Who knows?
No, it's not eco.
You know, if it were finished in a flat color, yes. It would be as exciting as the Sbarro, wouldn't it?
Almost, but with more stickers, and you know it's fast with the stickers.
Wow.
That's right. And the stickers actually serve a structural purpose. They can make the material lighter underneath it.
And they hold it together when it gets cracked.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
Bob, Toyota Auris Hybrid.
Auris. This is a special model of a Toyota's car that is built only in for Europe market.
But in actual fact, it's a Corolla. Okay. So what they've done, they've taken the five-door RS hatchback and they've kind of twiggled it a little bit, and they have a hybrid where they throw bits and pieces of the Prius C underneath it. So this is the way that Toyota's trying to make hybrids more appealing to Europeans who still seem to think that running around in diesels is better than hybrids, because, of course, you get kind of benefits like cheaper fuel in some countries, but not in others. I think we may see the guts of this at some point in time in a Corolla hybrid, but I don't think we'll be seeing this thing. I actually admit that I kind of like the five-door wagonoid body, which is more like a wagon than most modern wagonoids are. But it's a touring sports, so that's probably the reason.
Touring sports villa.
Touring sports, yes. It is a very, very excitement car. Don't you see?
I like the blue around the Toyota logo.
Yeah, they do that on all their hybrids. Even Lexus gets it done to them whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Bob, why are all of the clean diesels in Europe blue? Blue this or blue that? Blue Motion? Add blue? Why? Blue Tech?
Because there's an Australian thing called Blue Tech. Have you ever heard of it? It's a removable adhesive, and everybody loves it. And that's why they did it, because they know the Aussies like that name, and it's real clever.
So they did it for a market they don't sell many cars.
Sure, why not? I don't know. I was going to ask that. Why don't it be Green Tech?
Yes, okay? Exactly.
Because blue is the new green. When you mix them together, you get yellow.
And look at this. Look, my eyes are green, okay? They're green. You can see. Okay, maybe not.
They're blue because you're a duplicate of Jim.
I know, but blue is the new green.
According to Eric, we're going to have to go with it. Next up, Fiat 500 Abarth Fuori Serie puts the company's customization abilities on display. We were just talking about this with both Porsche and another one, and Fiat is doing that as well. Apparently, there's the option to...
You're live from Paris.
I'm in Paris. I know. I'm up in the rafters here. There are gentlemen that are scraping the rust off the ceiling. Not that you can see that in the audio version.
Is it warmer in there than it was on the front of that motorcycle?
It is, and it's in fact, it's so warm, Ferdinand Piëch is wearing his sweater and his scarf indoors.
It must be warm then.
That story Jim was telling me?
Yeah, I know.
It's like August, it's ungodly hot, and he's wearing a sweater and a scarf. I don't know. Oh, okay, we're back outside getting some fresh city air.
Oh, look at this Citroën Picasso taxi. I saw it. Oh, look at those babes, eh?
Oh,
they are fine French babes. How's your Galois, eh?
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's derogatory.
Galois is a cigarette, you know, French cigarette. Oh, it's a night shot. Look at that. You know that Paris is called the City of Light. Did you know that?
Look how bright it is, and it's dark.
Yes, it is. It's very clever, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the French say more often than anything else?
Sacré bleu.
No, they say, why can't everybody be like the French?
Is that true? I don't believe you, but what I do believe, customization only available on the Fiat 500 Cinquecento Abarth model. This one's painted that matte finish with dark blue and yellow. It's supposedly the Olio Fiat livery that debuted at the 1976 Whoa. Monte Carlo
they
rally.
They ran that in the rally cars.
No, that's clearly a U of M fan.
University of Milan.
It could be a UCLA fan, too.
I don't know if a U.S. your bunch over there
no,
is
No, because that's a darker blue. UCLA
yeah,
would
no,
be like a
powder
blue.
You're right, Eric. It is darker. You're right. It's a. You're right. Point taken. Just as long as it's not the University of Spoiled Children, USC. Oops.
Oopsie-daisy. Eric, you're up next.
Yeah, so another vehicle we do not get in the U.S., nor will we ever get the BMW 135 xDrive. Not that we won't get a new BMW 1 Series. We just won't get the 3/5-door hatchback version. We will get the one with the trunk, which looks like it's missing a certain... It's too short for its width and height. So this is the new 1 Series from BMW, available with all-wheel drive.
Now with extra frumpiness. I was not a fan of the one. The Einer, not so much.
And like all BMWs, it is now longer, wider, and heavier.
And
so badass.
Yes, Mr. Sullivan.
Did you say that was bad? What did you say? That was badass? Could you say that again?
So badass.
Oh, yeah, badass. Yeah, exactly.
He needs to re-ask.
I've got something in my headphone here.
Dander.
So badass.
Next up.
Are we going to a Basque restaurant? Is that what you're saying?
We have a Volvo. A V40 cross country. It's basically, to me, it's a Swedish Audi Allroad.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a nice earth tone as well.
It's called flat dark earth.
Is it flat black earth? Flat black and glows in the dark?
I've seen that color on some IKEA furniture.
Hey, wait a minute. This is a tactical car. It's flat dark earth and black. It's tactical.
It's camouflaged.
Well, no, because FDE is the new camo.
What does that mean?
But you know, hang on, look just at that shot. The hood actually looks like it's got shine on it. It don't look that flat.
It ain't flat.
I know.
It's got ribs in it too.
Are they St. Louis style? Or are they Memphis?
Memphis dry rub.
Okay.
Which do you prefer, Eric?
Depends on my mood.
Casey
I like
Masterpiece,
both.
Don't you?
No.
Casey Masterpiece.
It was actually made better by a doctor, I heard.
Excuse me.
We're obviously not getting that car in America. Either.
Well, it's kind of ugly.
Sure.
Yes.
Bob, why don't you round us out here?
How about with a car what we do get in America, admittedly in relatively low volume because they're not building a lot yet, is the good old Subaru BR, as we'd say in Australia, Z. Mm.
BRZ.
Which is, as far as I'm concerned, the real. If I were buying one of these things in the States, I would buy the Subaru long before the one that's sold, imported by Toyota. Because it's a Scion, and Scion is a defeatist brand for losers. Okay, the Subi, this is their kind of take on it. It's real funny. It looked like an escapee from the SEMA show. It didn't really look like something you'd see at Paris. It's got all the add-on, bolt-on bits and pieces, but underneath, it's everybody's favorite car. Maybe a little bit of this and that.
A little razzmatazz, you're saying?
Razzmatazz. And I'm looking forward. I'm actually looking forward to the two-phase STI cars on this. They'll be really interesting.
I notice it has disc brakes. Why not drum?
Cost reasons. They're too cheap. When I was working at Mazda, we had this guideline, and we used to joke, and it's one of the reasons at the time we said no to some proposals from Ford. The engine's car is the heart of the car and tells you whose car it is, in which case – this thing is a Subaru. It's not a Toyota, even when it has a Toyota badge on it.
Yeah. The engine's car? What?
The car's engine. Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm thinking in Japanese and speaking in English. It's a real problem.
Oh, dear.
Sentence structure is somewhat different, you know.
It's different for somewhat.
Oh, very, very different compared to that. Don't lean back. You will fall many feet to your death at the bottom of the land on the roof of some car.
maybe you would put a stain on the copper finish with your brother.
Is that, hey, Craig, if you look behind you on your left there, over your shoulder there, but I believe your right shoulder, is that a 328 BMW 328 back there?
Yep, sure is.
Oh, yeah. Well, shucks almighty. Am I looking the right way? No. Got to be looking this way.
Just
imagine the green screen. Everything's backwards, and you don't even know it. Well, we got through 60 cars.
Let's see a timer. Ben, a timer. We've got 11 minutes.
You're driven to minutes is remaining. We've got enough time to talk about In the Garage, guys. A new record.
Sweet.
Eric.
Yes.
Ben, are you going to play the sound effect, or do you have it queued up?
No. I'll do it live. Ready?
Oh, God, no.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, now we take a peek in the garage. Ben is gargling ranch dressing.
Is there a cam in there? Do I hear a cam?
Yes, you do. Eric, why don't we start with you? Rixos.
Yes. So yesterday, as we taped this on Friday, I had a chance to drive the 2013 Lexus LS. It's been updated for both interior and exteriors with its styling. The exterior has the spindle grille styling. It looks quite good. The interior, if you like the Lexus GS, the dash is pretty much the same. Styling, it drives reasonably well for a big luxury car. I was very disappointed with the materials in the interior, especially in the Executive 600L long wheelbase hybrid thing, which will probably be $100,000. The materials in that were not even as good as what's in the GS. So,
Eric, are you talking like IP or door trims or what? I'm just curious here.
I guess the best example you could like in the IP, the materials in the IP are fine. Okay. The door trim materials, especially the seat materials, they say the leather's very supple. It feels like cheap leather, to be honest with you. It doesn't have...
No, I thought the opposite. I thought that was terrifically soft.
I'm sorry, but if you compare it to what's in the Jag, what's in a Mercedes, what's in an Audi, no, it wasn't even close.
I was just curious, because often they screw up with the stuff in driver's vision and some of the tactiles there. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between comfort and like the Sport S and the air suspension car, there was a big difference in it. And it drives fine. I mean, it's a big luxury car. It's not supposed to be a sports car at all. It's an executive luxury car.
It's what you drive after a long day at the office.
But as blown away as I was with the GS, I was hugely underwhelmed with this. Now, the one cool thing they do is they have one wood trim in there, which is
Shimamoku,
yeah, which is 67 steps in 39 days. And, I mean, the steering wheel must cost about $6,000 to make. It's ridiculous. Wow.
But it's not that. It's plywood, basically.
Well, it's pretty, but they overstain it to make it too dark, and you really can't see all the beautiful graining that you can when the wood is much rawer.
They take a kauri log to some pine tree,
yeah,
and they roll cut the veneer off of it, and then they layer it and glue it together, and then slice the end grain off.
It's weird. It could be cool. One of the things I do like is that they are offering a number of colors in the interior, which look really good. They don't go with they have the standard like whale gray and black, which are like whatever.
Sperm whale.
But I mean, they have a tan, they have like a tobacco color and one other colored interior. I can't remember what it is, but those look really good. I like the colors they're using. It's just the materials. You don't feel like you're in an $80,000 luxury car.
I was going to say, how much did it cost?
Pricing will be announced in like 3 weeks, I think it is. It'll be a $70,000-$80,000 car.
Certainly. I mean, you said you didn't like it as much as the GS, but this is just a refresh too.
Yeah.
This is like the midlife facelift, right?
Yep. Yeah. But they're trumpeting how they're 3,000 of the 6,000 parts are all brand new, and you would think that in a refresh when you're redoing the interior that you'd upgrade the materials as well. Some of the materials. So.
I thought the materials were fine, personally. I don't know.
Go get that and then go look at a Jag, the XJ, or a...
we just had like the XKRS in...
yeah, but that's...
No, you need to look at an XJ for this. I know what Aaron's saying is right.
Anyway, we had the BMW M6 in the office, which I got to drive the convertible. Hated it.
6,000 pounds?
Awful car. Oh, I drove it one night and I gave it to Ben and said, you drive it because I don't want it. I don't want it.
Just too much for you?
No, it's terrible. Every single thing on the car is synthesized.
This is M6 convertible, right?
M6 convertible. The steering
is
like...
Remember we were talking about earlier? Okay. You take the Sport, you take these hardcore versions, and you rip the roof off, and you got problems starting, and maybe this is just some of that.
No. This is a systemic failure of BMW's M division, because this car, I don't want to drive it again. I had it one night. I'm like, I'm done.
So would you use the word putrid?
Yes. Okay. Pustule, maybe.
Pustule.
Using... The steering is – everything is so artificial, from the way the throttle tips in to the way the engine sounds, the exhaust note, the way the transmission shifts, the takeoff. You can't even take off smoothly. It was an automatic. There's 7-speed dual clutch. And you tip in and nothing happens. Then the clutch starts to take up. Then you tip in a little more because it's not accelerating. And then the car lurches. It's just – awful. And that's, I tried all the different settings. You can adjust the steering.
You've never driven an automatic transmission that had a high stall converter, have you?
No.
You might say, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
It's unacceptable. For the street, it was awful.
Does that have the exhaust coming out the speakers too, like the M5?
I think they synthesized the exhaust too. Okay. Why? What happened to M? What is going on with BMW M? They're supposed to be driver's cars.
It's catering to its customers.
An extension of the driver's very soul, and they're synthesizing
the
whole thing.
No, M is now a profit center.
Of course, but...
Hold on. Profit center and lifestyle division.
Yes. Thank you.
Profit and lifestyle division.
Yes.
You can tell there are a lot more cars I'd rather have spend half as much on than the $125,000 they were asking for this M6 convertible.
Speaking about $125,000, Manny...
You know, the 427 convertible I had last weekend, $91,000. It's a Z06, basically, with a drop top, but there's some... significant differences from that from the Z06. One is that they utilize a steel chassis instead of the Z06's aluminum one. And they, you know, and the other one is just a drop top.
You would
think that it would essentially ruin the experience. And to a degree, I mean, the car does like shake. It does rattle a lot, and there's a lot of...
Does it roll? Over.
Does it what?
Roll?
It shakes, rattles, and rolls.
Shakes, it rattles, it rolls. It does like really sweet burnouts. You can rev that thing all the way to, I think the red line is 7,100 RPM.
It lets you dump the clutch at that?
The LS, no. The LS7 V8, though, is just, it's my new favorite engine. There's so much, like, power to just, like, pull out, you know, as you just put your foot to the floor. 7 whole liters. It's raw. It's so raw. There's something you really have to appreciate. It's delightfully...
It's
delightfully visceral, delightfully unrefined. You know, you have a 6-speed transmission. Everything about it is just like, it's raw. I was sore from driving it on Sunday.
So it's like a first-gen Viper.
Almost. I mean, but with stability control.
It doesn't sound like a tuned UPS truck.
Yes. Oh, 10-cylinder.
The upshift that on this car, like when you're going from like 1.2 into 2.3, the noise it makes, it's...
ungodly.
It's ungodly. It's Jiffy Pop in the back there. It's like Zeus is just throwing thunderbolts. I'm serious. It's so loud, and it's just bass heavy. That alone is just, that's just what you want to drive with. And on the freeway, it kind of sucks. You're just like boom, boom, boom. You're feeling everything. And I took it all the way up to Traverse City to do some back roads driving. It was a day trip, and we, yeah.
It's quite a long day.
It was about 10 hours of driving. You know, there and back in the
back
roads.
Ben is trying to gesticulate violently to get our attention. 2 minutes, apparently.
2 minutes, but yeah,
but we're wrapped up.
I absolutely love the 427.
We're done here. We gave the
audience. You didn't ask what was in my garage.
What's in your garage, Bob?
My, because I'm hanging
sorry.
Loose here. At
I'm
my,
sorry.
My brother-in-law's place, as he travels a lot. His 680 horsepower D3 CTSV sedan is sitting there.
Oh,
it's fun to drive.
Go on. Go
it's
on.
It's fun to drive.
How many tires have you gone through?
No, Moss is just, that car is his pride and joy. It is just, it's delightful.
Hoot and a half. Now, what did you say? D3?
Yeah, D3, the Cadillac Tuning Program out of California.
Okay. Because I know there's Koenigsegg. No. Hennessy, yes. Hennessy. They had a 1,000 horsepower
D3. D3 stuff is better thought out than Hennessy's is, if I may be so.
Hennessy just goes for the number, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no finesse involved.
How do you handle 1,000 horsepower on 2 wheel rear tires?
Well, it's not as well engineered as, you know, most serious like tuning companies, like D3 or Roush even.
Yeah.
All right, look at that. We're down to the last minute, Ben. We can wrap this up. We are done. We gave the audience more. We gave them 60 cars, 90 minutes, plus in the garage. I'd say that's a success, folks.
Yep.
And your tour of Paris.
Yay!
Raise the roof, Craig. Raise the roof. Literally, raise the roof.
Robo Craig.
Now, Craig.
That noise, of course, means our 90 minutes are up.
But wait. There is more. Craig, I think, is going to make an announcement.
Oh, I think he is.
Ben, there is a big announcement to make. Would you like to start it off? Important news. I'm too emotional to say it.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you really?
Cyrus should be here.
Well, we'll look at you as I, because since there's no camera on me this week, we'll get a good look at you.
So take a good
look at this face.
Okay.
I'll do a zoom on you.
How do you zoom? You can't zoom on
scientifically.
There. It's not possible. Scientifically?
Scientifically. Oh, look.
That's enough.
It can be done.
My eyes will key out if you get any closer. They are green.
I actually am seeing bits and pieces of the background through your face.
Now I'm seeing bits and pieces of nothing because it's all a blur.
See. But a scientific blur.
All right, so we'll see if he tears up here. So, we mentioned last week that we had passed our 3-year anniversary.
We did.
It's true.
It's true.
Right. It's been a good 3 years, but we regret to announce that Roundabout has run its course.
Almost.
It's for real this time. Yep. If you're a long-time fan, of course you remember that we did pull a prank last year and say that we were going off the air. Whoops, sorry, I almost lost your body there, Craig. Whoa!
looks like Doctor Who all of a sudden.
Are you flying around with the joystick? Part?
Sorry, yeah, I'm just trying to zoom you back out.
Exterminate.
So, no, this is for real.
It is the end of the end of the day.
3 years was good.
Checkered flag is out on Roundabout.
Yep. So,
actually, this is the last lap flag.
Yes.
Last lap. Exactly.
Next week will be the last.
Checkered flag edition. Lap.
And there is a reason. It's not, you know.
It's a good reason.
Not that things weren't going well. You know, things were.
They were going.
Views were kept going up and all that stuff.
Were they?
And had a lot of hardcore fans and. But do you want to explain?
Yes, I have taken a new job offer with another company, so I will be leaving Autoline and Blue Sky Productions. So that is why the Roundabout Show is regrettably going away at this point. Ben, are you still zooming up on me? I didn't ask you to. It's quite all right.
You don't always get what you want.
There we go. A little something in there.
So anyway. Our host is taking leave. And I personally couldn't imagine Roundabout without my co-producer Craig Cole.
So we are
very, very excited for his new opportunity.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for all of the fans that have joined us from the dark early days for a bumpy Roundabout ride, killing off Zach Bowman,
Jeff Ross
went to the wayside.
Stephen Ewing.
Yeah, Stephen
Ewing.
Stephen.
You guys know it better than I do.
So pretty much everyone who we killed off went to Autoblog.
Pretty much. We were a training ground for Autoblog.
Jeff, yeah, they're on the Autoblog podcast.
Autoblog
so Manny?
University.
Oh.
I hope you got your resume in.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Doesn't everyone?
Seems that way.
But this wasn't the last show. Don't
next
freak
week
out.
It will be a big blowout
but
party
it's next
of
week.
Sorts, yes.
So what we're doing is... one last great show. Of course, you've seen our season openers and season closers before, and we've always reviewed the old stuff. And you know what? We decided we're not going to do that this time.
It's a lot of work.
We've done
to be honest.
Shh. Quiet. We've done that before, and I think you can go back and take a look at the work. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to do one last awesome show, and we're going to invite everyone who's been on the show, who wants to come on the show, all of our greatest pals, to do one last awesome show. We'll do the news of the week. We'll do some games. Maybe it'll be a longer show. We'll see. But that's next week, episode 145. Be there for the final episode of Roundabout for Realsies.
Luke is
Ben,
sad.
Ben,
Bob.
Were telling me, I don't know if you told Craig this, and maybe I shouldn't be saying anything, man, but you were telling me it is going to be longer. The show is going to be about 6.5 months long.
Yeah, I hope that's not an issue.
Oh, no, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Just I'll have to disappear every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, correct, there's a strong possibility there may be a certain Hall versus Hall presence on this episode coming up.
Oh, goodness, is that true?
It's possible. It's possible.
Okay.
There ought to be. We would appreciate.
I think Hall versus Hall was an integral part of the Roundabout canon, so I think it would only be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
We could include
but
that in the final show.
We have to thank all of our fan. And, you know, we mentioned the folks we've lost, but Eric, you've been here basically from day two because you weren't here from quite the beginning. But
I wasn't the original pilots, but shortly thereafter.
You were there in spirit.
Very nearly.
But Michelle Naranjo.
Michelle is our true originalist.
She has never wavered, never faltered, never failed to show up on the Roundabout show when asked. When needed, even when she wasn't scheduled that day, she showed up. Even when she didn't want to show up, she showed up for us. And we give her a round of applause for being just as dedicated as Mr. Sanders.
She's in the chat box right now.
She is in the chat box.
Storm.
I have screened with them a few times.
Being a motor
the road
mouth,
trip
mouth
number motor. Of years ago. Luigi B is applauding. Luigi B. So, yes, thank you guys for everything. It's been a tremendous run. We're glad you've enjoyed the show. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We're glad to have produced it for you. And, yeah.
Join us next week.
Please do.
That's when we say our real goodbyes.
That's when it's Elfine.
Will there be, like, snacks?
Cake? Will there be a cake?
Pizza? Jimmy
Possibly.
John's?
I don't know.
We can make this happen. Kegs?
I would say no on the kegs.
I would say, why not? I'm done.
YOLO. Yeah, Craig doesn't have to come back.
YOLO, Ben.
Yeah, YOLO.
Vomit off the tile here. What does it matter?
So, yeah, we'll bring in snacks or something. And Bob's got his snack cave, so he's all stocked.
Temple of Snack.
And so, there you go.
But okay.
Oh, so Bob's going to show us one of his signature snacks.
International signature snack, ISS.
Super popcorn. These actually are like the world's largest Kellogg sugar pops.
They are cereal.
So there you go. Yeah. But wait, there's more.
With less caramel though.
Yes. So awful. Or like the
this
Reese's
is one of my favorites.
At once, I was like, no, I'm done.
Oh, the Reese's Puffs. My body had like a weird addiction to that. He would not.
Choco flakes. Mmm.
But it's strawberry. See.
I'll leave a box of Reese's just for him when he comes over.
Strawberry. It should be strawberry flake. No, it's chocolate flakes. And everybody's favorite, chipotles. The only chipotle flavored snack that actually tastes like chipotle. And guess where it's made? Hecho in Mexico.
Close to Mexico.
My Mexis snacks is Karen Bolton.
Mexis snacks.
By the way, Miss Motormouth says that she would bring sandwiches. However, the plane tickets cost $1,000 or more. So.
Cup of Kool-Aid, wasn't it? Cups of Kool-Aid to go with the sandwiches after we got home from school.
Maybe my
like
grandma can make a soup or something.
But hopefully not the kind of Kool-Aid they used to serve in Guyana.
You guys are going to say, yeah, Mr. Jones is
Right. Oh, yeah. Jonesville.
Jonestown.
Town. Berg.
Jonesburg.
Jonesburg is a Route 10 reference.
Oh, sorry.
Yes,
it's next to
right.
Jepson Township, I think.
And Oceanaburg is one of its primary attractions, but it's
just stay away from Sorrel. Sorrel's a crummy town.
Oh, very crummy.
What a horrible
place. We gotta pick an episode title though, or should I wrap the show first?
Let's wrap this thing up.
Just Torque of the Town.
Oh,
Torque of the Town.
I already wrote that down. I think that's what it's going to end up being. But yes, thank you guys for everything. You can always subscribe to Roundabout if you want to relive some of your favorite moments from the past. Enjoy them again in the future. iTunes, you can do that, or via Stitcher for your smartphone. Stream it live at your convenience. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week for our last and final and ending, and I'm out of redundancies, episode. We'll see you then.
Whoa!
Oh! I'm upside down. I'm a ghost. Cutting my fingertips off.
Whoa! Whoa, there he goes. Here, do it again, Craig.
Should that be?
Waka waka.
Yeah, waka pack.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Here, again, Craig. Ready? Oh, he's Gangnam styling.
Are Puka and Figar anywhere around here? Wait, wrong game. Sorry.